Esther. What is a king's favorite weather? Close. Hail. Hail to the king, right? Okay. Why do cows lay on each other in the rain? To cover each udder. And then with all the rain we've been having, I had some rain jokes. And then, what do you call a pile of coins in the rain? Pile of coins in the rain. Climate change. That's climate. Yeah, right. Climate change. It's just to do with the climate. Yeah. So we have all these floods, right? Everyone's been watching the floods and all this stuff happening in Texas, and we had it in North Carolina, and it's horrible, right? I mean, with the death. Oh, climate is always changing. Like, it's nothing new, right? It's nothing new. Yeah, well, I don't even know that, but do you know this day in history, today, in 1977, the Johnstown flood happened. You remember the Johnstown flood in Pennsylvania? So this day, 1977, the Johnstown flood happened, and there was 88 people that were killed during that one when dams broke. And then before that, when was that? In 1889, the first Johnstown flood, there was 2,000 people killed in 1889. So that happened, how many years ago? And big flooding came in, then they built all the dams. And always, people, we think, oh, we can control weather, or we can control. And there's two things that always scare me, really crazy scare, is fire and water, right? Because fire gets out of control. You can't, it's a lot to bring that back under control. And water, water just busts through those dams, and still 88 people died in 1977. So that's what's going on with the weather. But you did. Jim did. Yep. And that was all after they built the big dams, and then the collapse after collapse, and then once they start all collapsing, all that. And I forget how many gallons of water they said was pushed through. And then, but even if you look at Texas, some of this, the flooding that took place, it's unbelievable how that water just came through those towns. It's really a sad thing, but nonetheless, climate is always changing, and always will. So let's go to the Lord in prayer as we start the message. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for, and we definitely see your power when I see it, when it comes to water and just the immense power that can happen with weather. And Lord, I know that you are a God full of love and also full of power. And Lord, help us to remember that you are a loving God, full of power and full of love to us, and you want us to know you and come to be with you after we pass. In your name we pray. Amen. So we're continuing in Acts, and we're going to be in Acts 11 today. Title of the message is "The Lord's Hand Was With Them." The Lord's hand was with them, and it's the whole chapter of Acts 11. And where we left off last week with Acts, we left with the Spirit was being released. The Spirit was released to the Gentile population, right, with Cornelius. And that's when Peter and the Jews that were with him saw the release of the Spirit into these just accepted Christ and came to the Lord, and they were speaking in tongues which was evident of the Holy Spirit for them. And then Peter then stayed within with them for, you know, a couple of days, it says. And then so now we're moving in to verse or chapter 11. And in chapter 11, I kind of ran through the whole thing because the first 18 verses in chapter 11 are kind of like a review of what we just looked at in chapter 10, right? So I'm going to read that real quick, and then we'll just read the whole chapter. The apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Peter began and explained everything to them precisely as it had happened. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals on the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, birds of the air." This was his trance. "And then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure to God that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up into heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house," which was the unclean man, right? The unclean Gentile. "He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and your household will be saved.'" And that message was the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? That was the message. So Peter was explaining all this. Verse 15. "As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift as he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God?" Right? Smart. Peter's getting smart. Or, you know, who was Peter, right? To think that he could oppose God. Verse 18. "When they heard this," the Jews, "they had no further objections and praised God, saying, 'So then God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life.'" And we'll stop right there real quick. So, I think it's funny, like, how the traditions we have as people, right? We have these traditions, and so the Jewish people saw Peter go, and they heard that he went into this guy's house, and the traditions for the Jews, because it was law for them at the time, was not to associate with unbelievers, right? But then with Jesus bringing, everything changed, and all of a sudden, all these things which we talked about, all these people are now clean. And I want them to be in my heaven. I want them to be my children, and my salvation to them, not just to the Jewish people anymore. Where before the Jews, when Christ was walking the earth, the Jews saw that and they saw Christ and they said he's associating with these people. And obviously, which we all know, they persecuted Christ, hung him on a tree, and murdered Jesus. The Sanhedrin, the same type of things happen here. So the church, the early church, the Christian believers in Jerusalem are kind of setting up their church the same way. They had a council of kind of overseeing the church. And this council that the Christian Jews had, even though they're now the Christians, we're still kind of having that same mindset of you can't associate with people until what? Until Peter is confronted with this vision and is no, and the Spirit tells him for sure, no, that's all ended. And it took that time, and it took Peter the apostle to tell the people and the head of the Jewish church at the time to say, who am I to oppose God? Because that's what the Jews originally did, right? The Pharisees and the Sadducees opposed God because they didn't hold to Christ as the Messiah. Okay. Now this is where we're getting into verse 19. We'll end the chapter and then go on where we're going. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks, also telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's hand was with them. That's, remember that. That's the title of our message. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church of Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man. This goes on now to talk about Barnabas. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord from Barnabas. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, which is the future Paul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So what we are known today as Christians, right, was first known in Antioch when Barnabas and Saul were discipling these believers of who Jesus Christ was, what he did, what the will of God is for us as people, how we are to live for the Lord, right? That they were discipling them. Then they were the first known as Christians. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them named Agabus. Can you imagine that name? Hey, Agabus, how you doing? Yeah, Agabus. So you can think about that, Atlee, when you're driving your bus. Agabus. Huh? You can Agabus. Stood up and through the Spirit preached that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. So, with some of this being said, I wanted to kind of look at, because this was my question as I read this, really honed into this right here of the Lord's hand was with them. The Lord's hand was with them, and they saw this growth. They saw these Greek Jews and Greek Gentiles, because all this was taking place at Antioch. And they saw this transformation in people's lives. And we see in verse 21, it says, what does it say? The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. My question for me, I asked myself, is the Lord's hand with me? Right? Jen and I had a lot of discussions this past week. And I asked about our church. I asked about the Christianity in the United States even. And but first, let's just stop there and let's just go back to my question for me. Is the Lord's hand with me? Because here we see in Antioch, the Lord's hand was with them. And what do we see? We see a great number of people coming to Christ and they're saying, I understand that Jesus now died as the Messiah. And I understand that if I believe in him as my Savior, I have salvation. And people were coming and soaking it in and trying to understand that. And a number of people were coming to Christ. So much so that then Saul and Barnabas were pulled in to disciple these people for the year and just got these people to an understanding of it. But it happened, and it says the Lord's hand was with them. I look at my life. I look at our church, right? You guys know if you've been in this church a long time. Are the benches full? You know, if you go to, and it's just not here. Smaller churches throughout the United States are empty, closing down. We've talked about this before. My question then is, well, I'm sure there's pastors and people preaching God's word that are in all these communities, do we see great numbers of people coming to the Lord? Well, sometimes we do, sometimes we don't, right? So my question is the Lord's hand with me? Am I burning my wheels? Yeah, church, right? Am I burning my wheels with my life when you see people that are in, unfortunately, you guys know me, so my mind always goes back to business, right? So I'm always in both worlds of ministry and business. That's just how it is. And then I look at my business and I'm like, okay, things were working, things aren't working, things are this, things are that. Is the Lord's hand with me? You know, you think of the Midas touch, right? You think of some of these guys, you think of Bill Gates, you think of Warren Buffett, you think of these successful business guys that put their hands on stuff. Now, some of their practices, but everything that's like turns to a successful thing. So my question was, is the Lord's hand with me? Have you ever asked yourself that? Is the Lord's hand with me? Yeah.
You know, God knows who's supposed to be.
He absolutely does.
So it's Amos 1. He was so good with that one.
Stan, you should be the preacher, man.
I mean,
you should be coming up here. Come on, brother. No, I'm just saying, no, it's perfect. Because that's where we're going. Right? Because we're living in a post-Christian society today. Many times in our mind, And now I'm sure I'm not in the pastor world, so I really don't jive with how pastors operate. I really don't, right? But I know when I talked to pastors, which I say I am a pastor, but you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's a different breed, in my opinion. It's a different breed, and they're all based on numbers, 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 numbers. Kind of in the business world, based on numbers, 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 numbers. And the church world's based on numbers, numbers. Pastors get, you count how many people are in here. It's all based on numbers. Scripture said it kind of was there, and it was, the Lord's hand was with them. So the gospel's being presented. So my question then was, which I said, is the Lord's hand with me? And then I started to think and step back. Okay. Was the Lord's hand with Stephen? Because Stephen we brought up in here, right? Which this whole thing started because Stephen was murdered. And the scattering took place, which drove them then to Antioch, where they're preaching God's word and people are getting saved. The Lord's hand was with them. But yet Stephen was murdered. Was the Lord's hand with Stephen? Yeah. Yeah. It was absolutely with Stephen. The Lord's hand was with Stephen, even though he was brutally murdered because God had a purpose. And God's purpose was had his hand on Stephen, and he was still murdered to fulfill the purpose, because we're all vessels to be used for God's purpose, aren't we? Like, we're not here for us. And if we are, it's sad for us, right? So I look at Stephen. Then I went back and said, okay, how about Jesus? So Jesus, God's son, God at the creation of the world, which we know Jesus was there. So Jesus now was murdered. Was the Lord's hand upon Jesus? Right? He was murdered. So a lot of people would think, well, the Lord's hand wasn't upon him because he was murdered. He didn't live out till he was 100 years old. He didn't make billions of dollars. So how could the Lord's hand be on him? The Lord's hand was on Jesus, right? I mean, who would deny that? The Lord God had a plan for Jesus Christ to be the Messiah, and had to be. No way around it. Because we know when Christ in the garden opened up and said, Lord God, if there's any way that you can take this from me, please take it from me. But I am here to do your will. Right? Isn't that what Jesus said? And Jesus walked forward, and the hand of God was on him, even though he was crucified. Because why? Because the purpose, the spoken prophecy given by our God for the Messiah, and as we know, going towards, as we keep ticking, the time keeps ticking, right? Coming to the end times, coming to when Christ returns, coming to when we're in heaven or we're in hell, coming to that end date. That's the purpose. You can't stop that. And we see history, things that are taking place in history, things that are taking place in countries, things that are taking place with technology, things that are taking place with every industry that's a viable industry and that's even not a viable industry, is all taking place for the one purpose, to this end date, because that's what we know is coming. And God has prophesied, gave prophecy about that. So there's no escaping this. The clock's ticking. Stan, I'm telling you, here. Stan's going to preach next week. I'm just kidding. So, I know, I love that. So, the Lord's hand, when we, and I think of the people in Texas now. Think of these people in Texas. There's a Christian camp. I mean, they built a camp in a flood zone, right? Which is sad. Nonetheless. A Christian camp. Do you think the people were thinking, the Lord's hand wasn't with us? I think the Lord's hand's with us. The Lord's hand's with me. The Lord's hand's with this church. Because how I see the Lord's hand, and this is, I have this discussion a lot, the will of God, right? The will of God for people is for us to come to an understanding of who Jesus Christ is, accept Him as our Savior, put our trust in Him, and then teach people accordingly. Right? That's God's will. And to live out a righteous life before Him. So, if I'm living in God's will, right? If I'm living in God's will, my assumption is then the Lord's hand's upon me. If I go outside of God's will, say this is my God's will zone, right? I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, just like the people in Antioch, and this is God's will for me. This is where I need to be. I need to stay in this area. But there's people that aren't Christians that are like, they're not following the principles of Christianity and what the Bible teaches and what God wants. They really don't care, but Jesus still cares about them. Don't get me wrong, but they don't care. So they're over here doing this, and, well, you know, I'm going to kill that person because I want their field, which we know. So I'm going to take that guy out, and, oh, well, hey, over here, I'm like we see in Proverbs, we're a bunch of robbers, and we're going to hide behind these things, and we're just going to go rape, kill, and pillage all these people as they come by. Why that good Samaritan, right? So we're going to go rip that guy off, and that's outside of God's will, right? And as the way I look at it, as long as I'm in God's will, then the Lord's hand's upon me, because this is God, how God wants us to live. But we're not insulated for a perfect life, are we? We're not insulated to have everything we desire met. That's not the purpose. Then that's not the purpose. And as for a church, it's not the purpose. The church is just a building. This is just a building. Right? We're supposed to be proclaiming Jesus Christ out of this facility. That's all this is, a facility to teach the gospel. And we're lucky to have a nice church. Right? I mean, that's a blessing, which many of you have put years and years of time and money into this church, giving it to the Lord for that sole purpose, right? The Lord's hand was on them, and all these people came to Christ. All these people came to Christ. So as I stepped back and I wondered to me, is the Lord's hand upon me? Ask yourself that this week. Is the Lord's hand upon you? It's a pretty, and think about it as you're driving. Think about it as you're brushing your teeth. Think about it instead of sitting in your recliner, turn the TV off, and just ponder that question. Is the Lord's hand upon me? Because the Lord's hand was upon them in Antioch. It was upon them. Then we just as we close, I wanted to look at Barnabas, you know, because two things. Barnabas this was great. Barnabas then, so here's Barnabas in verse 22. News of this reached the ears of the church of Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. Verse 23, when he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad. And what did he do? He encouraged them. He encouraged them. That's our job. Barnabas was this guy who, if we go back and we just a quick rundown of Barnabas. In the earlier Acts, it talked about Barnabas, and they called him the son of encouragement because he came from a Levite family and he had land that he sold and brought it to the church. And he was this great encouragement guy, right? He was encouraging people, and here we see him like he's like encouraging these people. And what does it say? He was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their heart. That's what we're supposed to encourage other people are. To remain true to the gospel. To remain true to the cause of Christ. When you stop and think, it's the Lord's hand upon me. When I stop and think, this is how the Lord spoke to me this week. Because I pondered this all week. That question. All week. I was outside working yesterday. Weed whacking. And I love the weed whack. Weed whackers are always so fun. Anyhow, you know, they're not. I'm weed whacking my stone wall. I'm like, the Lord. Upon me, and I was just milling this over as I'm mowing my grass, and with the Lord's hand upon me, as I'm studying for my sermon, as the Lord's hand upon me, and I kept thinking about this, and I think then Barnabas, the encouragement that he gives to these new believers, he says, remain true to the cause of Christ, remain true, this is our purpose. So when we feel and we think and we get beat up by society, When we get beat up by relationships, when we get beat up by people we love, when we get beat up by, because Jen's always throwing a punch at me, right? Get beat up by people you love. No, just kidding. So, but we're supposed to be encouraged by the fact that Christ loves us. If we think things aren't going our way based on numbers, we're off. Like Stan said, even if there's one person, you know, because what do we know if we're one or two or more are gathered, the Spirit is there, right? Doesn't say there has to be 50 million people. Doesn't say that at all. 1 Peter 5:6, and we're going to end with this. I'm going to read this quick. Because as we think about this, and when we think about life and anxieties and these questions arise, 1 Peter 5:6 says this, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourself, Stan. Humble yourself, Jeff. Humble yourself, Tom, Bonnie, Beth, doesn't matter, all of us. Humble yourself, everybody, under God's mighty hand. Not his weak hand. Not his sometimes good hand. Not his I forget about you hand. Not his I left you. It says his mighty hand. God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Whenever God says, when it's his time, right? So when we think and we question and we worry and that anxiety mechanism starts to pull at us because we're human, if you're a pastor and you're watching numbers, if you're a business guy and watching numbers, if you're a homemaker and watching numbers, if you're retired and watching numbers, however that is, whatever we're watching, that anxiety might sneak in. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because guess what? He cares for you, right? He cares for Jeff. He cares for me. He cares for the people in our life that we love that have walked away from the Lord. He still cares for them. He cares. He knows. He knows our anxiety over that. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for problems. I thank you for situations that are a bump in the road that get you onto a course to reflect. They're hard. I don't like them. But I know it opens us to hearing you and studying you more and understanding how much you really do care for us. And I thank you for that. Lord, I know my existence depends upon you. Lord, I am here, Lord, as I've said before to you. I am here for you. I want to serve and follow you. That's what my purpose is in my life. That's what I know. That's all I know. Help this church to know that that's our church as well. A purpose to follow you, to reach others for you. That's our purpose. In your name I pray. Amen. There's a lot of cookies out there, I think. So get like four of them, right? And then there's coffee and everything. And if you have any questions for me, ask me. we are right here. I'm not sick today, and I'm stopped sweating, so I might even be able to give you a hug. So we're all